Good morning. Well, this is our last week in Ephesians. Our series concludes today by looking at how to stay strong. And Ephesians closes out with a well-known passage about putting on the armour of God. But before we get into this, why don't we take a look back of what we've learnt so far? Okay. In the first half of Ephesians, chapters 1 to 3, we focus on who God is, what God has done for us, and the identity God has given us in Christ. And the second half of Ephesians, chapters 4 to 6, we focus on how the new identity transforms the way we are to live. Paul urges us to first understand our God-given identity so that our actions flow out of the understanding of who we are in Christ. So our doing comes from our being. The message of Ephesians can be summarized like this. This is who God in Christ has made you to be. Now, with the help of the Spirit, live like it. So let me remind you of your new identity in Christ. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then you are a saint. You are chosen. You have been adopted into God's family. You are son and daughter of the King. You have been redeemed. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are Christ's workmanship. You can approach God with confidence and freedom. You have been made righteous. You are a child of light. And you are united with Christ Jesus. Now, this is not an exhaustive list, but these are some of the key things that are mentioned in Ephesians. And it is in the light of this identity that Paul is telling us to live from, where we are saved by grace to do good works in unity with Christ and with each other. And you know what? The enemy hates it when we surrender our desires to God in order for unity to abound. When we choose to love instead of hate, when we choose to forgive instead of holding on to grudges, and when we choose to move with compassion instead of remembering things and playing them around in our mind, when we choose to operate from grace, when we choose to live this way, you know, we can expect to face opposition. Opposition towards the church and opposition in our own personal life. Because when we choose to engage in honouring one another, loving each other well, and calling out the good that we see in each other, the enemy hates this and he seeks to bring about disunity. But when we choose not to forgive or we harbour negative thoughts towards others, when we are slow to be gracious to one another and slow to show mercy, then we are contributing to disunity. And all these things are acts of division that separate us from God and our God-given identity. And one of the strategies of the enemy is to bring division. Division between families, division between followers of Jesus, and division in the church. And you know, Satan's chosen vehicle to bring about this division is in human beings, i.e. you and me. His most effective weapon is to have us engage in insult and deceit. He tries to whisper lies to get you to forget your God-given identity and to lead you to believe things other than what the Father says about you. If the enemy can get us standing against each other rather than standing with each other, his work is done. Nothing delights him more. Remember, we forgive because we have been forgiven. We show mercy because we have been shown mercy. We are gracious because we have been shown grace. So let's be people who give much because we have received much. Now we come to this well-known passage in the closing verses of Ephesians, where Paul reminds us that we need to stand firm in living out of our identity in Christ by putting on the armour of God. And because if we're going to put God's plans for us into practice, then we will come under attack. Because it's such a well-known passage, and Debbie did a great job this morning reading it in the New Living Translation version, I want to have a look at it like in a paraphrase version, like Eugene Peterson puts it fantastic. So we're going to look at it now in the Message version. And it goes like this. And that about wraps it up. Right away, I love it. God is strong and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no weekend war that we'll walk away from and forget about it in a couple of hours. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. So here we have Paul telling us how we can stand and resist and overcome the enemy. The enemy throws at us. The picture Paul paints is that of a warrior. And I'm sure most of us could say which part of the armour is and what it represents. I also know that some people use this as like a daily discipline where they would put on symbolically each part of the armour every day. And that is fantastic. If that works for you, God bless you. Keep doing it. Fantastic. Do you know, I did try it once because I thought I liked the idea of it, but I gave up. It was not my thing. But if it's your thing and it works and it helps you symbolise it and brings back to your memory every day that you're wearing the armour, great. Because no matter if you do putting it on symbolically or you're mentally or you're just reading it over yourself, whatever you're doing, you do need to put on the armour daily. So as long as you're putting it on, fantastic. Because it is important that we know what this armour of God is and that we wear it. But it's even more important that we know how to wear them. It's important that we put on the whole armour, because it's in putting on the whole armour that enables us to stand firm against all the enemy's tactics. And then we're able to resist him too. The first thing I notice about this armour is there are three things that you put on. You put on the belt, you put on the breastplate, and you put on the shoes. And then there's three items and threes you take up. You take up the helmet, you take up the sword, and you take up the shield. Just like the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters are about who we are in God, and then the last three chapters are about how we live out our new identity. So it's not surprising that the first piece of armour Paul mentions is the belt of truth. This is what keeps everything in place. This ties into our identity and who Jesus says we are. John 16 verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth and the life. Jesus is the truth and everything he says is true. And that includes what he says about you and your new identity in him. We have to trust him and believe him and live from that place. It really is crucial, as the rest of the armour is underpinned by it. When we start to see ourselves other than how Jesus sees us, we need to take those thought captives, cast them down, and remind ourselves of what Jesus says about us, because this is the truth that sets us free. Sets us free from negative self-talk. To help us set up for the day, it's good to start each day in God's presence. Reading God's word, which is the truth, and praying, and sometimes when we pray, using words, and sometimes without. Sometimes it's good just to sit and ask the Father what he thinks of you as a reminder of who you are. I would really encourage you to do that. And then we have the breastplate of righteousness, which means right standing with the Father and each other. And you know, the daily examine, I've been mentioning this many times, it's really good at pointing to whatever point in the day to help to bring anything to mind that may be setting you off on the wrong track. When you spend time in the Father's presence, he might bring to mind those past conversations that otherwise would have meant gone unnoticed. And this gives you an opportunity to repent, ask for forgiveness from God, and then if it's appropriate to go to that person and apologise, say, look, listen, I didn't mean, I've just come back to my memory, something I said, I'm really sorry if I came across this way, or I said this, I didn't, that's not what I meant, I'm really sorry. And then we can just apologise if I've got something wrong. And this helps us to keep in right relationship with each other and thinking the best of each other. And also, when we are in right relationship with the Father, if someone is off with us because we all have bad days, we can then exercise grace for that person who's maybe upset us in that moment. And that also helps us in right relationship with each other. So we have the truth, we have the relationship with God and each other, and then we put on the shoes of peace that come from the good news of the gospel. We can go and share this good news wherever we are. And that might be in the staff room at work, in the office, at the supermarket, with the checkout assistant, maybe someone in the car park, maybe someone in a park when you're walking the dog or just out for your daily exercise, or the person beside you waiting in a queue. It can start, and do you know what? It can just start with a kind word. But we have the gospel. We have the good news, the proclamation and the promise of the kingdom of God that is real and that exists, and that it is coming. This, the gospel message is, at its core, a message of the peace that will envelop the entire world when God establishes his kingdom on this earth. And when we wear that gospel of peace like shoes on our feet, it provides us with preparedness. A firm foundation that allows us to keep a sure footing in life's most difficult moments. The gospel of peace provides for us the preparation, our foundation, we need to face life's spiritual battles. Jesus sent his disciples whose feet were to be firmly planted in the gospel and the good news of his coming kingdom to be shared and spread. Great. Let's now look at the armour we pick up. Let's remind ourselves of what that is in Ephesians 6:16-18. In addition to all of those, these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, and on every occasion, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So, after putting on the helmet, the breastplate and the shoes, Paul tells us to pick up three things: faith, prayer and spirit. Our faith can guard us during trials in the same way a shield would during battle. For example, when doubt creeps in and our beliefs are questioned, our faith in Christ will protect us. We can stand firm in knowing what we believe. In addition, our faith can protect us when we experience anxiety and fear. We use our shield of faith individually and in community. And here the flaming arrows represents whatever Satan and his helpers are able to shoot us, to hurt us. Things like thoughts, feelings, fears, lies, all of these can be hurled at us as Satan's fiery darts. And these fiery darts come at us, but we are able to repel them back by our shield of faith. And that's why it's good to have the belt on. You know the truth of who you are, that you are in right relation with God and each other. So if things come at you that don't line up with what God's word says, then you can take that thought captive straight away, and then becomes much easier to identify a lie. Again, it is taking captive every thought that is not true and speaking God's truth on that subject. It's speaking things out in faith until you start believing it. Speaking God's word, that is the truth. And using your faith and community, that, you know, the Roman soldiers of Paul's day were sometimes subject to a virtual shower of arrows that rained down from above all at once. And for example, when they were laying siege into a walled city or a fortified hill, they had to advance while the arrows were being launched at them from above. And as a protection to enable them to advance, they would use a formation known as a tessuto, or tortoise formation. Now, this tortoise formation involves standing together in order to raise shields against the arrows coming from any direction. Now, so the soldiers formed a tight square in front, and those in the front would raise their shields up in front of them, and those on the sides faced the side and raised their shields, and similarly, those at the back raised their shields up, and then those in the middle had them up over the head to protect against the arrows flying in from above. And in this way, there was no part of the soldiers was left exposed. And the Apostle Paul spoke of the need of the body of Christ to be joined together, helping each other, much like that group of soldiers who raised their shields to defend each other. There is no gaps for anyone to penetrate. In Ephesians 4:16, it says, "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." In our everyday lives, it is also very important to remember our helmet of salvation. This not only protects our mind, but also protects our eyes, our God-given vision. The helmet of salvation protects us and keeps our focus where it needs to be: the end of the race. When we're wearing that helmet, it doesn't matter what Satan throws at us. We know what we're fighting for, and we know that our salvation, our deliverance, is a gift from someone far greater than our enemy. The helmet of salvation means we don't have to live in fear of Satan. When he tries to distort and destroy us, the helmet reminds us that our victory will come. It will come. Not from us, but from God who rules the universe. And with that helmet firmly seated on our heads, we can focus on living the life God called us to live, fighting the good fight on our journey to the kingdom of God. We are to use the word of God to discern thoughts and attitudes that are contrary to God's ways, and use that sword to bring our own attitudes and thoughts into captivity. That is the Christian battle. And this is how we are to use the sword of the Spirit. Now, the last thing Paul mentions here is to pray in the Spirit all times and on every occasion. Some people like to pray at the beginning of the day and then again at the end of the day. While this is great, but what about that big chunk of time in the middle? This is most likely where the battle will take place. This is where we can miss what's really going on. This is when things like the daily examen, again, is very helpful and it keeps you in check throughout your day and draws your attention to things going on in your mind and your heart and your attitude, and it turns your eyes to the Father. You can catch things from growing and developing at an early stage, and then you can become aware of the Father's presence as you go about your day. Prayer is our most powerful weapon to fight the enemy. To avoid any form of prayer is being open to the attacks of the enemy. However, when we put on the whole armour, then we are able to stand. Stand and fight against all the enemy's strategies. We can stand and defend any oncoming attacks. We are well equipped to fight. And I've got even better news. We are on the winning side. So I wonder what praying at all times looks like to you. For me, I am becoming more aware that wherever I am, wherever I go, I'm praying either for me or for the people I'm with or the people I'm going to be with, or I might just see someone passing by and pray for them, or even a building, I might start praying for the people in the building. I just start praying wherever I am. I become more and more aware of it. I pray when I'm in the supermarket, I pray when I'm in the car, I pray when I'm walking the dog, I pray when I'm mowing the grass, washing the dishes. And I would encourage you to do the same wherever you are. Just be praying, I pray a blessing, protection, whatever comes to mind. Because I have seen the transformation in my own life. And because of it, not because of me, but because there is power in prayer. But I must warn you though, sometimes when I'm praying, and then when I go to shout on the dog to stop barking, I sometimes can shout, "Jesus!" instead of shouting, "Charlie!" And that can sometimes be a bit embarrassing because that tends to be outside where people can hear me. But, you know, while this is funny inside, it's not so much funny when it's outside. Andrew often laughs at me. Catch myself shouting. Anyway. As we come to a close, keep putting on the armour. Keep learning how to use all the different aspects of the armour until you're really comfortable. And then you'll become confident, and then you'll be able to become a mighty warrior of God and a great defender for your brothers and sisters. And you know, my prayer for you, friends, brothers, sisters, is that as you walk in your identity as a child of God, that you will put on your armour and that you'll be able to stand firm. And we can stand firm together. Let me just pray. Yeah, Lord. Father God, I just pray for everyone that is listening. I pray grace and peace on every person listening right now. And I pray every spiritual blessing on them. That they'll be able to stand firm. That they will know the truth. That they will be able to identify wrong thinking. And that they will not give any room for things that are not from you. If it's not what you think, then they don't want to be thinking that. Will you become, Holy Spirit, will you just become more, may we become more aware of your presence wherever we go. Not just when we are reading our Bible and not just when we're gathered together like this, but wherever we are, may we become more aware of your presence because you live in us and you go wherever we are. Father, thank you for your spirit. And may you just remain with us for the rest of the day in a tangible way. We love you, Jesus. Amen.